Welcome back, everybody, to Balance of Power. This is week number 4, or Lightside week 2, depending on how you want to reckon time. We've arrived at the end of our long wait, and I'm super excited to be back. But before we start, I'd like to just take a moment of somber reflection to give thanks to all those Bothans who died to bring us this live stream. Rest in peace, mini Bothans. I feel like Ko, you've taken a dangerous choice playing a Bothan, because the only thing, literally the only thing we know about Bothans is they die. Many of them die. So I'm hoping for your survival.
I'm here to buck the trend. Good. Or at least try to.
You want to be the Harry Potter of Bothans? Good. Okay. So it's been a little while. We had a PAX. We had some other stuff going on. What's everybody been up to? Ko, what's keeping you busy between the last time we saw you and today?
Ooh, all sorts of things. Lots of Overwatch, RimWorld, replaying the old Dooms and prep for that. Just started a bunch of St. Jude stuff. It's been busy.
Yeah, you're a busy guy. Who's your favorite Overwatch character? Who do you like to play? Because I think everybody here is playing some Overwatch.
Yeah, I bounce between Pharah, McCree, Reaper, Roadhog, Lucio.
A man of many talents.
Yeah, well, no, I'm not good at any of them. But, okay. You know, we bounce around. We have fun.
a dull Swiss Army knife, then. Good. Well, that's good. It's you're having fun that counts.
That's what matters, right? I keep telling myself that.
And I know you're happy to have Overwatch back. I was worried for you. I was watching you on Twitter. You seem like you're going through some stuff, missing Overwatch.
I think worse than trying to quit caffeine. It's pretty bad. Got an addiction.
Yeah, except that you know, Coke or Pepsi don't call you up and be like, yeah, you're not allowed to buy it anymore. Sorry. Right. Just taking it away.
I'm sorry. What are you trying to kick?
Overwatch. I have such a habit, dude. I have such a serious addiction to Overwatch and Justice. I love it. It's such a good game.
I feel like I saw you tweet something like, your life has meaning again when it started.
Yeah, because it came back when they brought back the beta, and I was just like, yes, I can play nonstop hours of Overwatch every day of my life.
You're a Pharah player?
Oh, yeah.
Your main jam?
She's my main. I also really like sniping, but Pharah is definitely my girl.
Yeah, I feel like Pharah and Widowmaker are the characters that people who are good at these kind of games play, and then people like me are like, yeah, but Junkrat, though.
Junkrat is also really awesome, though. I got a 17 kill streak with him the other day, and I was just like, Junkrat destroys on defense, so they're all really good in their own ways.
Yeah, I'm digging the Overwatch. Is anyone playing something that isn't Overwatch? Caitlin, how's Hearthstone?
okay, well,
that's good.
I was gonna get Legendary again this month, but like, I'm not gonna go for it for like another couple weeks, so I'm gonna start playing Metal Gear Solid 3 soon.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
That's not Overwatch, right?
I mean, maybe it is. I'm losing the ability to tell one game from another anymore.
Right?
Yeah. How about you, Zeke? What's keeping you busy?
Trying to squeeze every amount of internet out of this place that I'm in right now that I can. Like, trying to strangle as much bitrate as I possibly can out of this fucking place, and it's not driving me insane at all. But yeah, other than that, just I've been doing the Dark Souls 3 thing, and I have not been playing Overwatch a lot.
Yeah, I'm still playing some Dark Souls. I get people telling me about your experience while I'm doing things. People are like, oh, Zeke had a really hard time with this boss. I'm like, okay, cool. Thanks, I guess, for telling me that. Well, you're doing something weird, right? Like, aren't you playing like a flea market approach where you're just picking up whatever you got and fighting with it?
Yep.
Is that how that works? Jesus, that sounds horrible.
I beat a couple. There's a couple of good boss beats. Like, I beat one of the bosses with just a shield, like two-handing a shield and just bashing it. And like the last boss I beat, I beat him with a mage's stick because the spells he was resistant. So I just whacked him with my spell stick.
Good. That's not the intended use of that device, but good on you.
Not at all. I'm on the Dancer, and it's fucking tough.
Yeah, I just finished Dancer, and there was definitely some, like, I think someone was like, well, Zeke's trying to beat Dancer with a pickaxe, so you shouldn't be complaining. Yeah, I'm really enjoying that game too. Yeah, it's been a good time. I don't want to leave you out, Caitlin, but how was everybody's PAX? Did we have a good PAX? That was a good face, Caitlin, and I deserved that. I'm sorry.
No, I didn't even see what it was.
PAX was like crazy busy. I think a lot of people had a lot of stuff scheduled. I know that, I think this was my busiest PAX so far.
Yeah, I feel like East is getting very, very big. Like, maybe that's just me, but I've noticed it getting, like, it feels like the main PAX now versus West, because I guess West is full, so.
Yeah,
that makes sense. I think that's the vibe I got, too. Really busy for everybody. But did anybody get to watch the Overwatch stuff at PAX? It was that big celebrity thing at the end. I think Elo cast it. Or were we all doing that thing where we were too busy doing our own thing to be able to watch?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think if their presence there, if Blizzard's like, we bought some cars and there's cosplayers everywhere and like the game's not even out yet, if that's any indication, we're going to see a lot more of that stuff to come in future PAXes. Right. But hopefully there won't be anything in the next little while so we can all play some Star Wars. So we've had the dark side get a little ahead of you. And for folks who are watching both sides of the show, at the beginning of the last Dark Side episode, we kind of like sat down and talked a little bit about some rules stuff and kind of cleared that up. And since it's been a little while for everybody, I figured that'd be a good place for us to start today, just to like remind us of like, what are we doing and, what are our characters about? Cause you know, the system takes a little bit to learn. So, first of all, I want to hand out some experience points because Yay. Those are fun and you can use them. You can use them to get more dice and not fail at things. So
look normally, at you,
sir. I'm not going to point any fingers. But.
RNG is on my side today. I had a talk with some people.
It has to be. It has to be because that picture that guy did. You just look like a soaked tart.
I know. Yeah, I know. I was just like, look at everyone fighting that thing, and I'm just like on the ground, like just not doing anything. Today that changes. Okay. Today is going to be different. I talked to the Roll 20 people. It's all sorted.
Sorted out now. Yep. So, so the way the experience works is you'll get experience points for like doing the mission that's set out in front of you. You'll get experience points for following your character's motivation. And then you can get some bonus XP individually for like specific stuff. Maybe you have like a side mission or you have a personal agenda during the mission. You'll get a few more experience for that. I'm going to give everybody 15 XP for the last session. And then we'll start using the more granular stuff because we didn't really talk about character motivation or anything. So people watching didn't know kind of what you'd be rewarded for. So if you want to, because I know sometimes it's fun to keep this stuff a secret, that's okay too. If you want to, you can tell people what your character's motivation is. So this acts kind of like your characters in this don't really have an alignment. They just have things that they want and what causes them to fight. And you, do you want to tell us about Kestrel's motivation or do you want to keep it on the DL?
No, I can go ahead and talk about it. Okay. You cool. Took us to your on the sheet, right? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Is that duty? Hang on. No, motivation. There it is.
Yeah, motivation. Yeah, we'll talk about cool. duty in a second.
My character, Kes Navara, is driven mostly by the search for adrenaline and just looking for a fight and adventure, mostly. So she's very much motivated by money and thrill-seeking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So
she's not really like in the rebel camp because she's like this is for the good of the empire or not the good of the galaxy, but more of a you know I just am looking for a good time.
You're
not that kind of good time, Chad. Don't do that.
You're fighting for your right to party.
Yeah.
So if you want to earn extra XP,
Beastie Boys legacy.
Yeah. Well, I guess I mean. Star Wars is a long time ago, so they stole from you. It was Cass's idea first.
Oh, the original.
If you want to earn extra XP during a mission, all you have to do is just go after what's going to be the most actiony, exciting, adrenaline-filled thing you can do. So, you know, taking on a bunch of stormtroopers by yourself, stealing a speeder bike, and
don't tell her that. Are you kidding?
Yeah, no, this is how you're going to get XP. So if you can point at the end of a mission, if you can point at like a time or multiple times where your character maybe didn't do the smart thing but did the fun thing, then we'll award you extra experience for that. For folks who watched Mirror Shades, these motivations kind of encompass both belief and instinct kind of at the same time. And instead of doing them per session, we look back at the mission and we say, okay, these are times this happened, and I'll pick an amount of XP to give out. Cool. Okay. Talra, what's your motivation? What's our stalwart Bothans? What motivates you?
For me, it's a quest for glory.
Yeah.
Yep. So it's basically my character is doing his best to, as the manual said, secure a place in history, do something hugely important, wants to fight in the biggest battles and do something so outrageous and daring that folks will talk about it for centuries.
Nice. So as compared to Kes's motivation, Talra doesn't want to just have a good time or like experience something. You want to be remembered for having been there, right, at the big battle that changed things.
He's the guy
that runs into history books.
Yeah, pretty much. He's the guy that runs towards the explosions kind of thing to try to figure out.
So is this like a very personal glory thing, right? Like your name in the history books, not just like the glory of the New Republic, right?
Yes, but in addition to that, like he very much parallels both of them. So he wants to be a part of something bigger, but he wants to be a big part of that.
Sure. Yeah. So do you I guess like there are characters for Talra to like look up to, right? Like there's the Mon Mothmas and the Luke Skywalkers and the Princess Leias of the world. And is that your goal? You want to be kind of seen as one of the heroes of the next generation of rebels?
Not necessarily like on that level, but he wants to be a core component, like a direct assistant to that, or you know, the guy that made the move that allowed the heroes to swoop in, you know, kind of like the glorified support.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, he would gladly take the position of a big character as well, you know, and kind of raise to that level. But his goal is more to make sure that everything he does is towards that bigger kind of pinnacle.
Yeah. So for you to gain extra XP during missions, it'll be the kind of like engaging with the people, making sure that you know, people know that this was the work of both the New Republic and of Talra Bavron specifically. Does that, and I guess we'll see, but from here, is that a sort of glory you want to spread to your comrades? Are you the kind of guy that, like, you know, when the press takes a picture, you grab Kes or Zeke and like pull them in and are like, yeah, get a picture of everybody? Or is this like, no, get out of here, I'm the important one?
Absolutely. In fact, Talra very much glorifies his own ability in leadership, not necessarily himself,
right.
but what he can do to a team and as a team. So he very much, like, if his whole team is doing well, he feels he is doing well.
Right. So you want the press clipping not to be "I'm the best," but to have someone really important be like, "And we couldn't have done it without Talra Bavron."
Exactly. Yeah. He'd rather have Talra's team conquer something instead of Talra conquer something.
What a good guy. What a great dude.
What a nice
dude.
Guy.
He does what he can.
What a nice Bothan.
For now.
Yeah, right. And these can change. So cool. Okay. So Gunner, what motivates you?
So the ones that we officially wrote down, is that our obligation?
No, so your character, we'll talk about duty and obligation in a second. So the other characters have a duty to the New Republic, but your character is a bit aside from that. So we'll talk about that in a second. That'll be your obligation, but this is your motivation. This is the I don't want to say what it is in case you want to keep it a secret. But
yeah,
it's right above the obligation one. Though.
Yeah.
Sorry. It's like right above it in the sheet, but if you don't want to talk about it, just tell me where it is.
Okay. So mine is...
If it's a secret...
Well, you can just say it. We tried to put it into like the terms that the book was using, but yeah, I'll just say my obligation when it comes up.
Okay.
So you're motivated by something mysterious. I like it. I know what it is.
Kind of, but not really. You know what I mean?
Sure. I mean, yes. Yeah. Let's continue to have a conversation about a thing both you know what I'm talking about and I know what you're talking about, but no one else knows what we're talking about. You just nod a lot and be like,
I have a like quick question.
Oh, but Adam, remember that one thing?
Yeah. No, that's very important. I wouldn't forget that.
We don't so, all have obligations, right? It's just
right.
It's like an optional thing. Okay, cool. I'm just gonna make sure because mine's empty. So I was like, I don't have an obligation. I don't know. Okay.
Yeah. Cool. So the difference being that, and this is true of the Dark Side group too. Caitlin chose some of her character options from a slightly different version of the rules that focuses on sort of scum and villainy and bounty hunters and smugglers and stuff. So they have obligation.
Give someone like the wrong impression with all those adjectives.
Yes, those are all fairly bad sounding things, but. Pocket did the same thing, and the two of you are like a little on the outside of the kind of organized force. So you may have your own sort of personal mission going on, and it's totally cool to keep that a secret. Everyone else has a duty where they're bound to serve the Republic. But
killing JP is an obligation.
Generally, you know, getting that meta is a little difficult because I don't know if you could use a fictional character to kill a real person. That's very complicated.
I guess JP's character would suffice.
Okay, yes. If you want to go with JP's, yes. Once you learn about the rocket rampage of Otto Mateen, then yes, you could probably change your motivation to hunt down this madman.
Okay, Adam. So I'll say that mine is just completing missions and following the orders that I'm given.
Yeah, you do your. Okay, cool. Do we have audio from our resident droid?
Can you hear me?
We can indeed. Yes.
Okay. I might have to drop out and rejoin.
Okay. So even though your motivation may not come from your own internal processes, it might have been programmed into you. Do you want to talk about Z3K3's motivation a little bit?
Yes, I would love to. Can I drop out of the call and rejoin real quick?
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
So while that's happening, in addition to the characters growing in strength, which is what XP does, we're going to be tracking your commitment to the Republic at large. And that'll go up separately of your individual characters, and you'll get duty points by completing your missions.
Do we have XP? Oh, here it is. Do we add our own XP? You said we get 15 XP, right?
Yeah, you track your own experience points, and you spend them exactly the same way we did in character creation. They have the same costs.
So I've got total XP and then available XP.
Yes. Yeah, you want to track your total XP just to know how much you've ever had, and then available is what you haven't spent yet.
Okay, so with the 15, we put in both because I haven't spent that 15 that we just got. Cool.
You got
nice. We're learning.
Yeah.
Got it.
Cool. All right. Are you there, robot? Zeke's turned into a map. That's okay. Okay. We'll finish with the duty stuff. So as your individual, like as the duty like climbs, you notice you all have your duty has a magnitude. That'll go up, and it's personally how invested you are in the cause. So I think most of you have either 10 or 20, depending on if you lowered it to get points. This is sort of how well-regarded you personally are among the New Republic troops. So at zero, you're just another, you know, a rebel trooper. Nobody knows you from anybody else. They wouldn't recognize you or anything. But as you take on more daring causes for the Republic in the war to get rid of the Empire, your magnitude will go up and people will start to recognize you as being significant to the cause. So like Talrad, this is a way that you can like look at your character sheet, Co, and say, this is how important my character is among the Republic. This is how well recognized I am. And it'll go from, you know, 10 or 20, wherever it started, up to 100. And every time the group's magnitude put together rolls over from 100, it goes back to zero, and you gain a contribution rank. And that's how you know, basically, we're going to know which team, you know, Empire or Rebel, how you're doing. in the overall cause, and you'll get access to more cool stuff. So being personally sort of glorifying for the Republic will give you personally more glory, but it'll also contribute to your group at large. So a lot of kind of what motivates you, Talra, will contribute to that as well. That stuff will come from pursuing your character's duty.
Is anyone else? Anyone
out there? I was gonna say, if anyone out there is an engineer, we really need something other than Skype to take over, because it keeps like freezing for a second, and I'm not sure if I'm like dropping out or what's happening.
But, I'm giving the exact same things, Anne.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah,
okay. It's Microsoft.
Skype. That's what she said.
Just hope that it doesn't get worse, I guess.
I'm sorry, Sergeant. It seems we have to invert matter drive.
So
then throw that shit out the window.
Someone was kind enough to send me technobabble.
Super useful.
Nice. We're professionals now.
In case you need to invert the polarity of some kind of coil or generator.
Yeah. I like how their instructions were to use between 3 and 5 words. So no less than 3, and do not go over 5. Don't use more than 5.
Right, because then it sounds like you're just making things up.
Yeah, don't. The polarity can only be so like hyper-driven.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. You can't triple invert the polarity.
No.
So it sounds and looks like Zeke is back. Yes. It might be an illusion. It might just be the Force, but... do you want to talk about your motivation, Zeke? And also, tell us a little bit about whether this is your character's personal motivation or if it's like just your programming, because I think that's something I'm curious about too.
Right, sure. I'm playing my character, Z3K3, a former Death Star droid. I'm just playing him as like a live to serve kind of a thing, like someone who takes pride, like a butler who really takes pride in their job.
Yeah.
You know, like trying to help as much as possible and just be of service to the commander and the sergeant.
Okay.
Do you ever see Bicentennial Man? Because that's really, like, that's the image of you I have in my head right now. Is Bicentennial Man.
Yeah, I have. Yeah. No,
that's my mental picture.
Mr. Butlertron.
Yeah, and kind of, I guess I'm just kind of keeping my sensors open to anything that might enhance or change my direction in life.
Nice. Okay. Cool. So your programming is available for change, but for now, your motivation is your connection to Kes, particularly as her right hand droid and mechanic. Yeah.
Exactly.
That's just a dangerous person to hit your wagon to. That should be interesting.
All right.
So
I'm for the long haul.
So in this case, you'll
okay.
You'll get XP. You get more XP if you pursue, despite maybe it not being like the smartest idea, following orders from Kes and doing things that advantage her and the cause particularly. But also, you can get motivation for doing things that you think are a good idea and that might not necessarily be, right? This is where the like bumbling 3PO thing comes in, where you're like, and then a big fight breaks out, and Kes is like, why is my gun in 6 pieces? Right. Like, so you have some opportunity there to play that up. Cool. Okay, so that'll earn you XP. Each of you has a particular like specific personal duty, but we don't necessarily need to go over each of those individually, because they're really more about how you affect the larger group. So cool. All right. So let's get started, shall we? So we're gonna do the like cinematic thing where, kind of like I did with the Dark Side team, rather than take up exactly the moment that we ended the last time, we'll start, as so many Star Warses do, with like a shot of a starfield and a planet that we're slowly panning down to. The music in the background is like a little sad, like some strings, maybe like a lone, like sort of military sounding trumpet faintly in the background. And as we come in closer to the planet and we fade into the next scene, we see what is unquestionably like a military facility. There's some bases. We see a couple of freighters and maybe those X-Wings that you recovered parked there in various states of repair. And we pan across the facility to a graveyard, basically. It's a field of stones, of memorial stones. And the camera stops on a large marble statue of a woman wearing New Republic officer's gear, holding her helmet under her arm and saluting. And gathered around the statue are three or four dozen Republic soldiers. They're not wearing combat regalia, right? They're not like getting ready for a fight. They're all wearing like dress uniforms, and holding their weapons or their helmets, and all kind of looking like a little like solemn. And I think we can't hear it, but we see a sort of politician-looking character on a pulpit giving a speech to the collected masses, and we pan over to Tara, and we see you standing there. And what's the look on your face, Tara? Are you looking while you take in this sort of memorial ceremony?
Probably just kind of looking over. Very slight smile, but somber at the same time. So kind of appreciating what's going on, but at the same point realizing that, you know, there's a long, long way to go ahead.
Okay. For the other characters, are any of you present at this? Like you all stay together. You work as a group, but when they called this memorial for everyone who like lost their lives in the most this recent battle, is this the kind of thing you would attend, or do you have other things to do? Like who else do we see in the scene?
I'm not here. I don't like ceremonies.
Okay. Sure. Okay. So I guess that means, Zed, you're not there either?
Nope.
Okay. All right. Gunnar, what about you?
If I was told to attend, then I'm there.
Okay. So you're just like, are you just like standing at attention with the other like ranks listening to the speech?
Or beside Tal'ra.
Yeah, you're with
Tal'ra. Would we be in the same area?
Sure. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, it's not like this is the sort of contrast between the firmly regimented kind of stormtrooper rows of the Empire. This is more like everyone is kind of gathered together. There's no real like military. No one's firing guns or anything. You're just all listening to this speech.
Okay, then I'm probably standing near an entrance and just really alert and on guard.
Okay, cool. So keeping an eye out. All right, so we see all of this, and the music, I think, fades, the sort of funereal theme sort of fades out and is replaced by a little bit more like pressing, kind of like an urgent sounding, like there's a little bit of those military drums that start to come in, and we see a hand on your shoulder, Tal'ra. Someone puts their hand on your shoulder, and we turn with you to see you recognize him. He's one of your commanding officers, Captain Davin Jastrod. Captain Jastrod, he's a veteran of basically the entire Alliance military campaign. He used to be a ground squad commander, but he was injured. He's got a cyborg arm. He was injured in the Battle of Hoth. And he's been kind of like desk job guy for the last little while. He has a fairly like deep tan and like big white like sideburns. And he's wearing his uniform. And he has this look you've seen on his face a bunch of times before, where he has something important he needs you to do. And he looks at you. Do you say anything? Like he gives this look like. Kind of stern, like, it's time.
I just kind of raise an eyebrow and kind of look him right in the eye.
What is it?
He takes his hand off your shoulder and steps up beside you and click quietly. And we can hear the sort of, like, talking of the politician at the pulpit still in the background. I mean, he speaks quietly out of respect for kind of the moment. And he says, I've been to too many of these. And he kind of like looks around and he says, but despite their sacrifice, there's always more work to do. I need you to assemble your team.
So Tower kind of glances back at the memorial and looks back at him and just nods without saying anything.
Okay. And he turns. And when he turns around, the soldiers that are on kind of like part to make room for him, and he beelines for the base facility.
Where are
Oh God, it's freezing.
I presume. Could you repeat that? Where I presume are what you asked is yeah, that's what I thought. That's entirely up to you two. When you go, Talra, when you and Gunnar follow the captain, we wipe diagonally to wherever you two are. So what's that scene look like? Where's Kess and Zeke?
I'm at the bar having a drink.
Okay.
Okay. Awesome.
Then I look to Kestrel. Sergeant,
is there any particular reason why we are not attending the event today?
Been to one, been to them all. That's fine. We don't need to be there.
Affirmative.
So we're waiting for Tara to come get us? Is that where he knows where we are?
Yeah, I mean, maybe. You're on like inactive duty. There's always more stuff to do, but you just come back from the scene of this like terrible Imperial massacre. A fairly important base was destroyed. There's been some whispering in the ranks. You don't know anything for certain, Kess, but you've definitely heard some of the other soldiers saying things like, you know, I hear that it was an inside job, that we have, you know, traitors in our midst. And so people are all kind of on high alert, kind of looking at each other askance. And like now we see you and your droid companion, and there's no one else in the cantina. There's like the bartender droid just like methodically picking up glasses and like cleaning them and putting them back. But there's all these like empty tables. It's one of those hollow chest sets, just kind of like flickering and dark. And like everybody else is at the funeral. Yeah. And so I guess, is this a normal thing for Kess when you're not out shooting stuff, you're here drinking?
Not like a hard alcoholic, but I don't like ceremonies. I don't like when everyone's gathered and just being mournful. And, you know, I didn't know any of the people who died. So it's hard for me to have a connection with the mourning that's going on. Cause I don't feel that sense of, sadness and melancholy.
Hmm. Yeah.
And
I
was the droid.
I guess that's the thing, right? Like as the alliance, the scrappy rebel alliance grew into this like proper actual government with like military arms and stuff, the chances of you like knowing people who are lost in these kinds of things gets like slimmer and slimmer, right? Because there's just so many of you now. I think you're there basically just waiting to get another opportunity to act, right?
Hey, Adam.
Yeah.
Was there a funeral for the Gonk droid?
No, because
the droid lives don't matter.
The Gonk droid did not belong to anyone important, and ergo also not important. So exactly. Somewhere, when you say that, somewhere there's a broken little Gonk droid that's like not dead yet, his little leg's kicking. But buried
that's
in a swamp.
Team Gonk.
So, yeah.
Never forget.
Yeah.
We've already forgotten.
So I guess like if that's the case, like if you're just waiting, we can probably cut to like all of you in the briefing room, unless there's like something that you wanted to do before you get your next mission. Okay, cool. All right. So yeah, I think we get that little scene where you're like, where, you know, you're having this conversation with your droid and finishing your drink in the empty cantina. And then, yeah, we wipe to a bluish hologram of a planet. It's a like a jungle planet, and you're in one of the Republic base briefing rooms. There's a big sort of hexagonal table. You're all sitting or standing around, and the captain is giving you his briefing, and we come in sort of mid briefing where he says he says, "This is the planet Felucia." And you see it, and it zooms out, and the map, the galactic map, highlights a line of systems that kind of passes across the outer rim, and he says, "It's important because it's," and he like points, and it zooms in on the way, the line as it passes the planet. He says, "It's the closest thing to the Perlemian Way, and we don't control it yet." And it turns red, and we get a little like Imperial logo over it. He says, "Since the Clone Wars, the Empire has had a firm hold on this planet, and we haven't been able to shake them. We have some hope, however," and he like presses a button on his little PowerPoint thing, and the sphere goes away and is replaced by a little waveform. We don't have a video for this, this thing, but there's an audio, a sort of garbled, like it sounds like it's been encrypted and decrypted, but not completely. So the audio kind of like crackles in and out, and it's a woman's voice. She's speaking basic. And it's, we don't get the whole description, but she says, "I can't tell you who I am. It's too dangerous. All you need to know is that I'm a part of the ruling council of Felucia, and that there are people here who need you. We need the Republic. The Empire's time has passed." And then it's like a crackling, and she says, "I can't tell you anymore. Send your agents to these coordinates," and there's like some more crackling, and she says, "May the Force be with you," and it cuts out. And the captain looks around for a reaction. So if there's anybody that's how are you all reacting to that?
Talra has very much a pensive look on his face. He's extremely skeptical of this. As to him, it immediately feels like a trap.
Yeah. Okay. So do you communicate that to him, or do you give him skeptical face, or do you look at your team like, "I'm skeptical about this"?
I'm looking at each of them to see what their reactions are before I say anything. I want them to be able to say what they're thinking first. So I'm kind of arms crossed, just kind of looking at them.
Could you repeat it again, Adam?
The plan? She. The captain is giving a pause here just for you to like let the intel sink in. He wants your feedback. But someone supposedly on the ruling council of Felucia, a strategically important planet on an important hyperlane, is ready to defect, right? Ready to bring in the Republic troops and help you get a foothold on this planet. And the captain is kind of like waiting to see what your reaction is before he continues.
So this is a two-way conversation. This isn't like Leia being like, "No,
it is." Yeah, it's an audio transmission, one way encrypted. Yeah, so you can't. Yeah, you're not in communication with her right now.
Okay, I look very. Hear us when we talk.
Yeah.
Is this okay? So I look very uneasy and actually like more so confused and easy, and I'm actually kind of looking at right back at him.
Okay. Yeah, so I think he nods. He sees everyone seeming like a little edgy or a little skeptical, and the captain nods and he says, "I know. That's what I thought too. I had a conversation with High Command about this intel, and they say it's good. We've had some intelligence officers on the planet for some time, but we lost contact with them. But everything that they say," he like looks at the holodisplay. He says, "they checks out. We have our suspicions about who this could be, but." And he like sighs and he looks at you, Talra, and he says, "Well, to be perfectly honest, we need you to go and check it out. And then if it is a trap," and he kind of like gives you this helpless like, "and if it is a trap, well, we need you to find that out and spring it and get the fuck out of there.
Go get trapped."
Yeah. He's like, "If it is a trap, well, there's only one way for us to find that out." And he says, he says to Talra, he's like, "You know me, I wouldn't give you bad intel if I could help it. And if I could go on this mission myself, I would, but well, delegation." And he kind of like rolls his eyes. And you've all worked with this guy before, and he's got this like vibe of being like grudgingly kind of like, "I'm going to go send you to your death, but man, I wish I could go with you because that'd be awesome." You know?
So at that point, I'm just going to look at him and you know, straight up tell him,
understood, we'll leave as soon as we can.
Kind of look at the team and nod and head out. We got our orders.
Okay. So, yeah, so he, again, because of this mission, because it's, it, you know, there's a lot of stuff to do, he hasn't, there isn't any, like, they can give you special resources. So what is your, what's your plan? Like, how are you, it's an Imperial planet. Do you take your team somewhere and, like, talk this out? Or do we just, like, cut to the plan being executed, right? Like, whose job would it be here in the group to figure this out?
I'd say first step is probably to go to the bar and sit down at the table and figure out exactly what we're going to do. So I'd say I would kind of lead everyone to a bar, get us all sat around a table. We're all facing each other.
Okay.
And kind of look at the long
So we, we cut over to, it's kind of like a similar scene, only now instead of the briefing table, you're all sitting around this table in the cantina. And now it's after the memorial. So there's, you know, a bunch of soldiers who have kind of had the sad, somber moment, and who are now all like drinking to toast their dead friends. So it's pretty busy. There's lots of like glasses clinking. There's some music playing in the background, and now the bartender droid is actually like, doing work. It's weird because, you know, you'd think with such a vast universe that there would be more than three or four songs, but no, nope. Just not. There's just the two or three.
The classics, man.
Classics. Like,
right. Rolling Stones, Pink Floyd, cantina music. Can't
beat it. In this universe, they only ever recorded Hey Jude and no other song ever, and there's no other band. That's just it. So, yeah, so we get this kind of military cantina vibe, and you're all sitting around the table, or standing.
So I'm standing by the table.
I need to roleplay this.
Great prop filled with water, right?
Oh, it's totally pulled out.
So I'm standing beside the table and I look at Talrat and I say, Commander, is this spot safe for this debriefing? This is nothing like what we were trained with. It's totally safe.
At the bar.
It's totally safe, I promise.
I just look like really uneasy.
So suspicious.
He glances both ways and bends down. No, I'm assuming it, for this particular thing, I'm assuming we kind of took the table in the back to where everyone around us is either in discussion or anywhere else. So I'm assuming it's loud enough so no one can overhear us. And this is just stop on the way to somewhere else. So just to play the same page before we head to our ship and make plans.
Is there? Yeah. I think it's a good spot because people aren't suspicious of people hanging around in a bar, you know, like. We're all at a table. I mean, everyone's at tables. It's kind of a, you know, we all look the same.
I mean, I don't think it's like the worst spot. It's just that my character was like through like really rigorous
a lot of
training in the military. So it's kind of unorthodox.
If you'd like to, Gunnar, you can make a look around and see if anybody's listening or paying undue attention.
Yep.
And I want some. Gunnar, damn it. So let's have you.
The rest of us are.
Yeah, let's have you make a roll.
Should we do the force points, the destiny points, so I can choose if I want to use a destiny dice for this roll?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we haven't done the destiny points yet. So right before we make our first roll, we have to decide whether this particular mission starts off with the influence of the light side or the dark side. So if y'all will go to your character sheet. And just click the roll destiny.
Can we use the dice to find out like how cold the beers are? You know, if they're like expertly chilled.
I don't know what other people you've been playing role playing games with, but I don't make you roll for pointless bullshit. So they're exactly as cold as you would like them to be.
Thanks, Adam.
That's a couple of shit rolls right in a row there.
Yeah, y'all are killing it. Oh, wait, so
okay, where am I rolling here on this one?
Zeke,
it's
you.
on the left in the.
Goddamn!
Sorry, I didn't hear what you said.
You're all just killing it. It's on the left side, where it says roll destiny, just under sync with GM. It's like quite near the top. Okay, so Kes nice generates guess. A light side point for you
because yes,
at least someone's on the right team.
I'm doing it, Mom.
Well, the great thing here is that, like, given your little speech before about being like, no, it's not about feelings. Yeah. All right. So you, I start the game with 3 dark side points I can throw around, and then you have, you guys have 1. So you can use your 1, Gunner, if you'd like an upgrade, but...
No, I was just kidding.
but I can also make it more difficult for you. So let's just make a difficulty 2 perception test. So just put 2 purple dice in your dice pool and then roll next to your perception. And we will see what Gunner sees. Nice. Okay, good. So not only are you like successful in getting a good idea of what's in the room. Oh, you didn't add your difficulty. Roll it again.
I did though.
Oh, you gotta click. So the way the character sheet works, and I can't remember if we figured this out. So click up twice next to the purple ones, and then
you have
there
to,
you
have
go.
To click okay, out of the box.
So yeah, you click out of the box and it'll lock it in. So basically the same result, just minus the advantage. So you succeed, and like we were saying, like nobody's like watching you particularly. The bartender droid is paying attention to the levels of your drinks, but nobody is like watching you. You cast a around the room, and you see varying degrees of people reacting to their feelings about this most recent battle. Right, there's some people who are like quietly, you know, like just doing shots and kind of like looking somber. You see a table where there's a guy with his like uniform mostly unbuttoned, and he like gives a toast. He's like to Commander Skywalker, and everyone's like Skywalker, and like. There's a lot more going on in the room than just like a bunch of you sitting around having a conversation. So if you want to, you're pretty convinced that everything here is safe. You're safe to have a discussion.
Okay, I still feel like a bit of unrest then, just from how unorthodox it is.
Okay, cool. So you're on guard. I'll let you know, and I'll like let you roll if anything like happens or changes. Like you're ready for action. So let's, for the sake of escaping the Imperial code blocking that seems to be happening to us, why don't we take a short break here, and we'll adjust our sensors, we'll recalibrate some stuff, and we'll come back and we can figure out what the plan is.
Since the polarity is all wrong, Adam.
That's right. We have to invert the polarity and something tachyon pulse.
We need to decouple the crystal matrix.
All right. We'll be decoupling the crystal matrix. And we'll be back with more.